An animated logo appears in three-dimensional gold letters, Fox Video. Spotlights on either side point skyward and wave back and forth. A note appears. The following film has been modified from its original version. It has been formatted to fit this screen. Another logo of a towering block of gold letters, 20th Century Fox. Hollywood spotlights crisscross their shining skyward beams.
What's up? This is K107 broadcasting on New Year's Eve. Why don't y'all scribble down those New Year's resolutions and dial me up? Tell us those lies you're telling yourself. Promises you know you won't keep.
I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. They're stupid. I promise this year I will not...
No matter what John says, this year I'm starting my catering business.
And if I do ever let Russell come back, I'm gonna whip something on him so tough.
I'm gonna lose 10 pounds and eat right. 15 pounds. Okay, 35.
I mean it.
35 pounds.
Now, a silver sports car speeds down a lonely highway in the desert.
Do you know where you want to be tonight? And where do you want to be next year? Think about it, because we're getting close to that final hour. So if you haven't finished those New Year's resolutions, you better jump on it before it's too late. I've made mine. How about you? This is brand new from the beautiful Shantae Moore. Weigh You, K107. Check it out.
In the car, an alluring African-American woman sits behind the wheel with a sheer scarf tied over her curly, dark auburn hair. Wearing sunglasses, her eyes focus on the road ahead.
The deal is the men in Denver are dead. No wonder I'm changing towns again. It's gotta be better in Phoenix.
She drives past jagged mesas and flatlands. Titles read Whitney Houston, Angela Bassett, Layla Roshan, and Loretta Devine. In Waiting to Exhale, directed by Forrest Whitaker. Now, a sophisticated black woman in her 30s buys ice cream for her two kids in school uniforms.
I gotta pick up the babysitter, pick up my gown, stop and get John's tux. Ooh, I cloned myself, but I wouldn't have time for the surgery.
Now, a leggy, cocoa-complexioned woman strolls past an office building.
I don't know why I always pick the wrong men to fall in love with. My weakness is pretty boys with big sticks.
Three men leer at her. Now a plump woman pushes a shopping cart.
I don't know why Tariq has to spend New Year's Eve with his homies. He sees them every day. Plus, there are going to be all these drunk fools in the streets. He'd have more fun at home with me watching videos.
Just want you to know that if you're searching, somewhere there's a love for you.
Here it is, New Year's. And I'm geeked up for a blind date that's not even all that. Just some party this guy's voice invited my answering machine to when we got worn out playing phone tag. A long time ago, I asked God to send me a decent man. I got Robert, Cedric, Daryl, and Kenneth. God's got some serious explaining to do. So my prayers got more detailed. Like, how about some compassion? Could he have a sense of purpose? A sense of integrity? Could he listen? The truth is, most men are deaf. They prefer to guess what you need, but they don't guess worth shit. They lie without a conscience. What they're best at is convincing us we should feel desperate. Thank God I don't fall for that shit.
Her name appears, Savannah.
That nerve would give me some real breasts.
The sports car driver studies her reflection in a mirror.
I know that's gotta be Mama. She's the only one else who's staying in a hotel. I love you, Mama, but tonight. I'll call you in the morning, Mama.
She struts out, wearing a clingy dress. Now the sophisticated woman applies mascara at a bedroom mirror. Her name, Bernadine.
I do not feel like going to another one of these boring affairs.
A handsome, mustached man enters, wearing a tuxedo.
Bernie?
Yes?
He stuffs his hands in his pants pockets.
Would you be terribly disappointed if we didn't go to the party tonight?
She breaks into a warm smile.
Christ.
He soberly stands behind her.
What?
I guess there's no appropriate time to tell you this, but I'm going to the party, just not with you. She? Yes. She doesn't want to be alone tonight, and I was thinking, why should she be?
Still staring in the mirror, Bernie taps a hairbrush into her palm.
It's that bitch who keeps your books, isn't it? And you picked tonight to flaunt your whore in front of all your business partners and your friends. What the hell are they supposed to think, John?
The truth. Finally, the truth. I'm leaving you for her.
Gulping, she carefully blinks back tears.
Don't worry. You can have the house, and you know I'll take care of my kids.
You wait a minute. I give you 11 fucking years of my life, and you're telling me that you're leaving me for a white woman?
Would it be better if she were black?
No, it'd be better if you were black.
He subtly shakes his head.
Thank you, Bernadine, for making this easier.
Locking her steely gaze on him, her nostrils flare.
I'll be back next week for my things.
With his hands in his pockets, he strides out. Bernie turns back to the mirror and coolly takes in her reflection.
All right, time to get your groove on all night long.
I don't believe I'm spending New Year's Eve by myself. This is definitely a first.
A new name, Robin.
Finally gave up on Russell. A lion, sneaky, horse Pisces.
A small dog eyes her.
Russell was so fine. Probably every woman in America wanted to be with him. But you know what, Iggy? Oh, I knew he was mine. Till I found that half slip in his gym bag.
Robin, the leggy businesswoman, bites a cookie.
Phone's ringing off the hook tonight from women wondering where all the real men are. So for all you fellas out there running the streets, looking for love in all the wrong places, something you should know. Love might be waiting right there at home.
Now, the plump shopper sighs at a window, then shuts the curtains. Her name, Gloria. In her kitchen, she dishes a plate of food as Tariq, her teenage son, stands behind her.
Mom, I wish you were going out tonight.
I'm just fine, thank you.
As she turns her back, he fidgets guiltily. Gloria turns around, eyeing him sternly. He playfully shows off his dress jacket and sky blue vest with silver clouds. A sly smile spreads across his face.
You coming in at a decent hour tonight.
Ma, it's New Year's Eve. Things don't start jumping off until midnight.
You ought to be praising God I'm letting you go out at all the grades you bringing in here. You know, you best get busy. You're going to be using Mara's code to contact the little girlfriends of yours.
Look, I'm doing the best I can, so just ground me now.
He has wide brown eyes and a faint mustache over his full lips. Frowning, Gloria straightens his jacket collar.
You know your father's coming on Tuesday.
And?
She glares at him.
First of all, he's not my father. He's my daddy. And there's a big damn difference.
Now, you watch your mouth.
Look, I see the bastard once every 2 years, and I'm supposed to get excited? You get excited.
He starts to walk off, mumbling under his breath.
What is that supposed to mean?
He turns to face her.
Where'd he sleep the last time he was here?
She takes a stunned breath, her ample chest heaving, then turns back into the kitchen.
Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Mom, I'm sorry. Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's none of your business.
I'm sorry.
Now, Savannah heads toward a crowded party at a chic restaurant.
This is K107 broadcasting live from the Hermosa, and this is where the party's going down. Why are you sitting there when you could be sitting here in my room? Let Brandy tell you. Check it out, K107.
She sashays through the entryway, which drips with gold streamers and twinkling white lights. Pausing, her dark, cat-like eyes survey the restaurant. Multi-ethnic partygoers groove on the dance floor. Savannah turns away, standing uncertainly in the vestibule. Tall and curvaceous, she wears a body-hugging, chocolate-colored dress with spaghetti straps. Heading deeper into the restaurant, She stops at a table where three average-looking women sit with two handsome men. Savannah places her hand on an empty chair at the end.
Excuse me, is anyone sitting here?
No, please join us.
As the women whisper, Savannah thinks to herself.
Hell yeah. I'm single and desperate and have no morals. And as soon as one of you turns your back, I'm going to flirt my butt off and then take your man.
While Savannah sits silently, one of the women glares at her. With a sigh, Savannah rises and walks off. Nearby, a DJ puts a new record on a turntable. Savannah glances around as a suave-looking man, sporting a goatee, comes up behind her.
Savannah?
Lionel? Hi.
He warmly embraces her.
God, if this man isn't the one, at least let me dance till I sweat.
Would you like to dance?
I'd love to.
God, you look so beautiful tonight.
Thanks.
I'm certainly glad we finally met. We made it here safely in one piece.
Well, our answering machines almost moved in with each other. So glad we met.
Moments later on the dance floor, he takes her hand and draws her into his arms. His hands wrap around her waist. Hers fold over his broad shoulders. They begin to sway together as white party lights glitter all around them.
I'm gonna make you my wife. Cause you my everything. All my hopes and dreams come true.
Lionel's hands delicately caress Savannah's back. With closed eyes, he leans toward her smooth, bare shoulder and inhales.
You feel so good.
With her chin on his shoulder, she dreamily gazes into the distance.
Thank you, Jesus. And then I did it. I closed my eyes and I exhaled.
She exhales from her full, shapely lips and continues to sway in his arms.
And pretended this man was mine, that he was everything I ever dreamed of, that he was the one I'd been waiting for all my life.
Lionel?
Another woman approaches.
Lionel? You haven't danced with me all night.
Savannah takes a step back.
Savannah, this is my friend Denise.
Savannah regards her coolly, then walks away. A moment later, she steps onto the patio outside the restaurant.
If I hurry, I can still catch Dick Clark.
Now, Gloria and Robin in a busy beauty parlor.
What's up, Joseph? I like them pants.
Well, thank you, girl.
Hey, Joseph, did he show up?
You think he did? Come on, honey, you next.
Oh, Gloria, look at this.
Oh, yes, that line. It's very nice. Looks just like in the book.
Hey, Gloria, you like this color?
I'm charging you 25 cents for each finger, Robin.
You're going to charge me what?
Robin, why don't you just come on out of my shop, go back to that little hot shit insurance company you work and love?
Because, baby doll, I don't punch in or out. I got it like that, remember?
Lunch hour is over.
So I guess you guys have heard, huh?
What?
John left Bernie.
What?
Mm-hmm. And for a white girl.
You lying.
For a white girl.
Honey, if I'm lying, I'm flying. I saw her just the other night at the Circle K, and she was a mess. Honey, her hair was in rollers. She had a funky old bathrobe on. Girl, I had to take my girlfriend home.
Joseph, are you serious?
That's a heart attack.
Be still, baby. I don't want to burn your scalp.
Gloria, I told you he was an asshole.
Excuse her, baby. I'm sorry.
Gloria nods to a little girl, then picks up a phone.
Are you calling? Let me talk
Wait
to
her. Wait a minute.
Let me talk to Bernie.
It's the machine. Bernie, this is Gloria. Honey, you call me at the shack, okay? We want to know what's going on over there. Now, don't...
Bernie, how dare that son of a bitch leave you with two kids?
Well, you don't go there up in here.
Joseph.
Go on back to your
I will see you on Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness. Miss Monroe.
She hangs up the phone. Now, a woodpecker taps on a prickly cactus with its pointy beak. An elegant Spanish colonial-style house sits nearby. Inside, Bernie lies awake in bed, dressed in a robe and her lace bustier from the night before. Her luxuriant ebony hair hangs past her shoulders. Her eyes are puffy as she sits up and places a hand to her forehead. Reaching for an answering machine on her nightstand, She presses a button.
Bernie, this is Gloria. Honey, you call me at the shop, okay? We want to know what's going on over there. Now, don't Bernie, how dare that son of a bitch leave you with two kids?
Hi, Bernie. It's Savannah. I'm here. Call me. I'm at the Biltmore.
Bernie walks over to a fish tank and stares inside. A tear trickles down her cheek as her chest heaves with deep sighs. Later, she fixes a pot of coffee in the kitchen. Later still, she walks her kids to a yellow school bus.
Hey, hey, Hunk.
The kids turn back.
Thank you.
First her young daughter, then her son, hug her warmly.
Thank you.
As Bernie watches, the kids dash into the bus. Later, she bursts into John's closet. Suits are neatly hung on identical, evenly spaced hangers. Shoes are carefully lined up on shelves.
This motherfucker is psychotic. I bet you this serial killer's less anal.
She snatches several ties, then pants.
You got a white woman, probably the only one who'll tolerate your smug ass. Yeah, I was your white woman for 11 years. Started that damn company without me. Hell, I worked my ass off.
I mean, I got a master's degree in business, and there I was, his secretary, his office manager, and his computer.
Rushing into the garage, she dumps an armful of clothes into a car.
No, Bernadine, you can't start the catering business this year. Why don't you wait a few years, huh? Yeah, don't start it right now. Wait 1, 2, 3 years. I need you to be the fucking background to my foreground.
Toting a kid's wagon loaded with John's clothes, she heads back to the garage.
732, 732, the number of times we made love. I remember when that bastard told me he was counting right after 51. I'll show you. Fuck me for not leaving your ass then.
But the worst, all the fucking worst, making my kids go to a school with only two other black children because you don't want them to be improperly influenced. Well, guess what, John? You're the motherfucking improper influence. Get your shit, and get out.
She dumps all of his belongings through the sunroof of the gray BMW, opens the garage door, then climbs behind the wheel of the car. Inside, the back seat is completely loaded. A tongue dangles from a grinning Mardi Gras mask behind her. With a scowl, Bernie backs out onto the driveway and steps out of the car. Later, she sprinkles lighter fluid onto the clothes, bulging out of the roof, then drops the can onto the ground. Taking a step back, she puts a cigarette between her lips and lights a match. She brings it to the cigarette's tip, then carefully drops it into the car. Flames begin to flicker on John's elegant designer suits. Sternly eyeing the building fire, she takes a cool, hard puff and takes another step back. Bright orange flames swell out of the car windows as wisps of smoke curl into the air. Turning away from the roaring, raging fire, Bernie confidently struts back to the house. The flames rise higher and higher, gleaming against the dull background of the brown adobe house and a distant scrub-covered mountain. Back inside, John's identical, now empty hangers dangle in the closet. Later, Bernie watches TV. She nonchalantly pulls out a cigarette. Walking to the door, she opens it. A white mustached fireman stands on the other side.
Ma'am? Were you aware your car was on fire?
Yes.
He jots down a note on a clipboard.
Did you start this fire, ma'am?
Looking away, she takes a slow puff, then turns back to face him.
It's against the law to burn anything except trash in your own yard, ma'am.
It is trash.
Shaking his head, he makes another note.
This is a nice area. Luckily, I never cared enough. The next time you want to burn something,
it won't happen again.
She slams the door in his face.
Michael and I work for the same insurance company.
He's just been promoted onto my marketing team. Michael is no Russell. I mean, he's not pretty, but he is available.
A tubby man enters Robin's bedroom.
Oh, a Kodak moment.
She wears a silky bra and panties.
Michael had to be about a 38D. My brain was saying, put your hands anywhere else but on my body. Then go home. And don't come back, you human submarine sandwich. But you can't say that kind of thing without hurting someone's feelings.
Michael does a little dance.
Come here, babe.
Taking her into his arms, he kisses her on the mouth, then starts nibbling her neck. He's about half a foot shorter, with a round face and a wide, bulky body. Robin, who has a slim but voluptuous figure, fidgets in his embrace.
You feel even better than I thought you would. Come here.
He picks her up, straining with the effort.
I got you.
You got me?
I got you.
He dumps her hard on the bed.
Ooh.
You all right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, baby.
It's okay.
She takes off one high-heeled shoe and flings it away, then the other. With a seductive pucker, she climbs under the covers and lies back on the pillows. At the foot of the bed, Michael grabs hold of the spread.
Okay. All right, here I go.
With his t-shirt tucked into his boxer shorts, the bespectacled Michael climbs under the spread and crawls up to her. He settles beside her, then waits impatiently.
Alrighty then. Somebody's gotta undress me.
Thinking to herself, she slips her hands under the covers and removes her panties.
At dinner, he told me he drag races, scuba dives, deep sea fishes, and keeps his own boat in the White Mountains.
Michael takes off his boxer shorts and tosses them away.
I told him I grew up an army brat, that I went to ASU and I majored in anthropology.
She removes a sheer dressing gown.
I knew you were gonna be beautiful all over.
Here you go.
As he climbs on top of her, she hands him a condom. Michael bites open the wrapper with his teeth, then slides his hands under the covers. His brow furrows disconcertedly as his hands move beneath the spread. She eyes him.
You need some help?
No. No.
He throws her a look.
There. There.
He takes off his glasses and climbs on top of her again.
Damn! I didn't even get a chance to see what he had to offer.
Oh.
Closing his eyes, he makes tiny microscopic thrusts. Yeah. Sweat drips down his face.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
She frowns in disbelief.
Shit is good, huh? Shit is good. Oh, it's good. What's my name? Say my name. Say my name. What's my name? What's my name?
Michael.
What's my name?
Michael.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, this is good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's good. Ooh, yeah.
Ooh. Oh, I love it when you call me Big Papa. Oh,
Big Papa. Ooh, ooh, yeah.
Oh, Papa coming.
He collapses, resting all of his weight on top of her. Robin winces and shoves him off. Michael settles beside her, raises his arms above his head, then makes a kung fu gesture with his hands.
Does he think he just did something here? Shit. I could have had a V8.
Oh, I knew you were going to be somebody special.
She stares up at the ceiling with the covers pulled up to her neck. He glances over at her.
How do you feel?
About what?
Me. This. You know, everything. Tell me what you want. What you need, because whatever it is, I'm going to see that you have it.
She slings him a look through half-lidded eyes. Sitting up, he gazes at her with concern.
What's your fantasy?
I mean, what do you want from a man?
Everything.
Could you be more specific?
She sits up, bringing herself face to face.
I want to have a house in Scottsdale.
I own a house in Scottsdale. What else?
I want to get married, and I want to have kids, two, maybe three.
And?
I want to eat out two, maybe three times a week. I want to have babies. I want to go away for long weekends. I want to have a family. I want to be happy.
You don't want much? I could give you that and a whole lot more.
With a shy smile, she glances away, then looks back, training her wide brown eyes on him.
What about you, Michael? What do you want?
Robin, I think I found it.
You don't even know me.
It's about knowing me. I could give you everything you want, everything you need, if you let me.
She glances uncertainly away. Her eyes shift back toward him, then shift away again as she falls into deep, reflective thought. Turning back to face him, she leans in close.
You can start by kissing me.
He tries to grab her.
No. Slowly and gently.
With an eager smile, he carefully draws closer and tenderly pecks her on the lips.
And he did it right. And I felt like silk. And when I looked at him, I didn't care anymore that he wasn't Mr. Universe. I just felt young and sexy and beautiful. And when I closed my eyes and squeezed my pelvis real tight and my body exploded from the inside out, Michael felt just like the real thing. Everything was perfect for once.
Now, Bernie opens her front door and finds Savannah.
Hey, girl. How you doing?
Oh, Bernie. So good to see you, girl.
They warmly embrace.
I've been waiting all day for you.
You okay?
Bernie nods shyly.
Come on, let's go get a drink, huh? Yeah, what's some toys for the kids? Come on.
Bernie locks the door as Savannah enters with a shopping bag. They step into the living room and Bernie mixes a drink. A home movie of a celebration with John plays on TV. She hands Savannah a glass.
Here you go.
Thanks, babe.
Savannah eyes the TV.
Happy anniversary.
Nice house, Bernie.
At $5, you can have it. You know what's funny? I always thought if I gave him what he needed, he'd give me what I needed.
I love you too.
It's amazing what can happen when you give a man control over your life. I can't even pretend it's all John's fault.
Bowing her head, she wipes away a few tears.
So... tell me about this new job.
Well, I took a pay cut to see if I have what it takes to produce. You know, some of us are still on that dream trip, girl.
Later, they sit on the patio, holding hands. The twilight sky hangs above them as silhouetted mountains loom in the distance.
Are you scared?
Bernie glances down, then musters a smile.
Yes.
Me too.
They squeeze hands. Now at Gloria's.
Okay.
Gloria steps out of the kitchen, removing an apron. She looks around for a place to put it, sticks it behind a pillow on a settee, then answers the door.
Gloria?
An attractive, slender man with curly hair and an earring enters. She wraps her arms around him.
Come on in.
When David was here last time, he did me a favor by spending the night. Lord, let him be merciful again tonight.
They step into the living room.
Well, have a seat.
Well, you're looking healthy.
Thank you.
Oh, well. She nervously holds out a tray of cheese and crackers. He gestures no, so she places it on a table. Gloria has a pretty round face and short, molded hair. David eyes his watch, then taps the back of his hand.
So, where's Tariq?
He's not here right now.
I don't know why I continue to do this. He's almost grown.
Yes, he is. Would you like some wine?
Oh, no. No, thanks.
Sure.
She pours a glass for herself, then takes a sip. David watches her, then breaks into a polite smile.
When exactly are you expecting him?
Tomorrow.
His smile quickly fades. Rising, he starts for the door.
Wait! David!
She follows him.
You know you can always stay here.
Here?
Yeah. I thought that maybe we could, like last time.
I should be honest with you.
About what?
About me.
What about you?
Do you remember how I didn't respond to you last time?
Of course, I remember. I thought it was because I gained weight and...
I have been bisexual for years.
What? What?
You heard me right. I'm not anymore. I'm gay.
David, you don't have to go to this extreme just because...
Look, Gloria, I don't have to lie about this. I've lied too long as it is. I'm staying at the Biltmore. And if he ever wants to see me, he has to make the first move. If I don't hear from him by noon, I'm checking out. And I mean just that.
Her mouth falls open as he turns away and heads out.
Oh.
Come on, it's an offer you can't refuse.
Now, a garage sale at Bernie's. Her kids bring out more things.
Oh, Onika, honey, put that one over there, too.
Ma, are we just selling Daddy's stuff?
Yes, honey.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Why come?
Oh, why come? Oh, Onika, why?
Why?
Because he asked me.
He did?
Yes, it's just collecting dust. Oh, bring the wine. Hurry, come on.
I'll get it.
She told me to get it.
She told me,
give it to me.
No,
please. Oh, man. Look what you did.
Dollar, right?
That's right, sir. Thank you. Enjoy your ski.
A sign reads, "Love's Hangover. Everything must go." Bernie kisses her son. Nighttime. Our view scans along a chic condo complex, stopping at a bedroom window. Inside, Savannah lounges in a negligee, watching the goateed Lionel in an adjacent bathroom. Bare-chested with a towel wrapped around his waist, he stands at the sink.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart.
I didn't think I'd ever see him again, but he did call to apologize.
He throws her a smile, then starts to brush his teeth.
That's my toothbrush.
Is he crazy?
Turns out this guy has no real income. Chain smokes reefer, brags about being a vegetarian, then inhales 3 hot dogs like it's the last time somebody's gonna buy him a meal. I gave him $20 for gas, which came to $7.18, and he didn't even give me my change. My fantasy was to get myself a little peace. You know, get my feet wet in a new town. Well, not exactly my feet. Hell, it's been 5 months, and he has gotten on my last nerve. But I don't have to be in love with him to do it. Hell, my body needs this.
He struts over to her, drops his towel, pushes her back onto the bed, and climbs between her spread legs.
Oh.
Lionel, baby, we've got all night. You can take your time.
I'm just so excited. I've been thinking about what I'd do to her since New Year's. Oh. Oh. Hold on, baby. I'm on my way.
What? Grr. Grr, huh? He collapses on top of her, shuddering. She blankly stares at the ceiling.
Now I'm a keeper at the damn zoo.
In a conference room, John marches to the head of the table and nods to a pretty blonde.
Kathleen?
John, the urine report's on the Giria counter right here.
Everyone have a copy? Thank you.
Suddenly, Bernie breezes in.
If you examine the profile on the Giria report, you'll find... Bernadine, I'm in a meeting here. If you need something, I suggest...
Would you mind terribly if I had a few words with my husband?
She slaps the blonde.
What the hell are you doing?
I've been to the bank. Thank you. Thank you for thinking of your children.
Everybody out.
Yes, out, out.
You don't come to my office and start throwing some tantrum because you can't finish what you started.
What am I supposed to do for money?
I gave you the house, now sell it.
I hate you.
I'm really sorry to hear that, Bernadine. But I'm not playing games with you anymore.
Who do you think started this damn company, huh?
Let's not start that again, all right?
And now you think you can just take the money and run?
Business hasn't been good for years, but don't you worry about it. You'll get what's coming to you.
Hell, I'm not worried. You, on the other hand, should be.
Okay, look. Let's not let this thing get any uglier than it already has.
Is everything all right in here, Mr. Harris?
Fine. Now, I'm willing... I'm more than willing.
What you gonna put
to
me
give
out,
you $300,000 cash
out.
Today.
Your children aren't for sale.
She turns to leave.
One more thing before you go. I'm coming for my kids on Saturday.
Yeah? And if I hear you had them anywhere near that tramp bitch, you're gonna regret it for the rest of your life.
He sits stoically, watching her go. Now, Gloria walks out of her house and strides past a pool to a bungalow behind the main house. Entering, she finds Tariq seated on a bed with his pants down. A pretty white teenage girl kneels over his groin.
Tariq! Get out of my goddamn house! I'm sorry.
She runs out.
Sorry. Mom, I'm so sorry, Mom.
I told you was grounded.
I know, that's why I invited her over, Mom. So...
You know I'm about sick of this shit. Sorry. If your daddy wasn't gay, I swear to God, I'd send your black ass straight to him.
She stops in her tracks.
You saying my father's a faggot?
She shuts her eyes for a moment, then turns to face him.
I don't like to use that word.
Ma. Faggot, gay, homo. It's all the same. So my daddy's a queer. My daddy's a queer. Yo! My father's a queer! He's a fucking queer! My father's a fucking queer!
I said stop it!
One thing's for sure, the one in the family, because you know.
You best watch your mouth.
She starts for the house, then stops again.
I'm sorry.
Sorry? You're sorry. You're sorry about everything, aren't you, Tariq? You're sorry about lying to me. You're sorry about your grades. Sorry about letting some little girl in here to suck on you, your little 17-year-old dick. How can I trust you in Spain if I can't trust you here, huh? You just get out of my face.
Mommy, just let me...
You bet. Get out of my face.
With a nod, he heads back to the bungalow. Now, Robin presides over a meeting with Michael and several others.
Now, this is something we should definitely focus our attention on this quarter. This account comes up for renewal June 1. The workers' comp premium is about $1.5 million, and the loss experience has been excellent.
What does the engineering report show?
She throws Michael a look.
It shows an active safety environment.
Actually, I found a discrepancy in the report.
Oh, really?
Now, if everyone could turn to page 20, we can look at the graph.
Page 20.
If you'll excuse me.
She turns to take a call.
So you want to do your job? Well, you will never get another whiff of this.
Yes.
Now, Bernie with a lawyer.
So it appears that everything he's purchased in the last 10 years is in his name only, including the business.
Look, I'm not trying to get rich here. But I want to be able to pay my mortgage and take care of my children, their education. I just want to be okay. All right?
Look, I'm not going to lie to you. We're in for a fight. But I promise you, I will do my best.
Later, Bernie at Gloria's hair salon.
Bernie, this is the stupidest move you've made yet. Just because you're upset with your husband.
I love you, Gloria, but I'm not going to debate this with you, all right? I'm not here for a lecture.
Bernie, I've been doing your hair for 11 years. One ignorant move by your husband, you're going to come in and chop off all of your hair.
Now, come on, Gloria, do it.
I'm not doing this.
What is the fucking big deal?
No,
just
I'm
cut
not
it,
doing
Gloria.
It. You're going to wake up tomorrow.
All right,
yeah,
fucking fine. You don't want to cut this fucking shit off my head. I do it my goddamn self.
Fine. You want me to cut it? I cut it. How short do you want it, huh? You want it shorter than mine or short as mine? You know, I can always use a razor, too. I can't believe you. 11 years of growing your hair, and look at what you're doing. Fine.
Later at a nightclub, Bernie and Gloria sit with Savannah and Robin. Bernie's hair is cut in a stylish bob that nicely frames her taut, sculpted features. All around them, couples dance.
I don't know why they call this mess happy hours.
Well, it's still Elliot, girl.
Oh, sweetie, that's not it. This is your first time hanging out?
I hate to be the one to break it to you, but this is as good as it gets.
Mm. Oh. I feel like dancing.
All right, girl, don't hurt yourself and nobody else.
You go, girl.
I'll find me somebody.
Bernie leaves.
How you like that new haircut?
I don't like it.
I like it.
You like it? Yeah, look all right.
It's nice. It's sharp on her.
Hello, stranger.
Bernadine, how are you?
Wonderful, thank you.
Oh, that's Herbert Webster. Used to be a pro football player. Now he's a newscaster, a sports agent.
And fine as hell. And if she don't want him, I'll slam dunk him tonight.
He's also very married.
And?
She's only dancing with him, y'all. Damn.
Are you blind? Look at her. She flirted with that man.
Nearby, Bernie snuggles up to her dance partner.
Shoot, I could be home watching Good Times.
Why aren't you deadbeats out here dancing? Now you can drink and talk at home.
Girl, you're too hot for me.
You better watch out for that man.
Oh, Herbert? Oh, who means harm? Besides, if his wife's at home, he better watch out for me.
Ooh, give me some.
Bernie slaps Robin's hand.
Yo, bad.
Well, I guess that means he's available.
Glancing away, Robin's jaw drops. Michael enters with a pretty young woman on his arm. He regards Robin coolly, then walks on.
Oh, I don't even believe this shit.
Uh-oh. What's the deal? What's going on?
I mean, it's only been a week since I fired him, and he was talking marriage.
Well, don't forget you dropped him. And please don't embarrass yourself. And please don't embarrass us.
Please.
Oh, I wouldn't give him the satisfaction. Little fat fuck.
Bernie comes over.
Robin, did you see Michael?
Oh, she saw him.
Michael who?
Another night, Robin sits in a Jeep with a trendy-looking man behind the wheel. He wears small sunglasses and puffs on a cigarette.
I've only known Troy for 3 days, but already I feel close to him.
I wish he didn't smoke, but I can live with one bad habit.
Yeah, he's real cool people. He's a lawyer, but he's down to earth. You like him.
Later, they enter a house party, mostly filled with whites. Troy tugs Robin by the hand, then bends over, swaying awkwardly to the music.
My favorite Caucasian, Wild Bill.
Troy, the good stuff is here.
Oh, man, check out my honey, huh?
Bill, Robin, Bill.
Hey, would you like some wine?
No, I don't think we have time.
You just got here.
Oh, come on, woman. We got time for a glass of wine. Go relax yourself.
He playfully bites her on the rear.
Stop! Woo!
Don't let the smooth taste fool you.
He follows Wild Bill into another room. She wanders through the party alone, eyeing the sleekly furnished house. Her sleeveless pale dress has two rows of knotted diamond-shaped holes, one around her toned stomach, the other around her knees. A passing blonde bumps into her. Robin smirks, then heads into the kitchen, where partiers drink and bob their heads to the music. Stepping into a dining room, she finds Wild Bill giving something to Troy, who hands him a wad of cash. Noticing Robin, Troy covers up drug paraphernalia with his hand.
Might as well be with Russell if I'm gonna deal with this shit.
Baby!
I really got
that wine.
Troy, I'm ready to go.
Come on, woman.
No, I'm ready to go now.
She heads for the door.
Oh, that shit turns me off.
That shit turns me on, yeah.
Now, Savannah at work.
I got a few questions on the Colin Powell episode. Ring me at extension 455.
Miss Jackson, this is Doreen. I've got a few messages for you at the front desk, along with a FedEx package. Thank you.
Savannah, this is Kenneth. Hope you haven't forgotten me. I'll be out your way next month for a medical conference. It would mean a lot to me to see you. Hope you're well. Bye now.
God, I used to crave this man. He treated me like a lady. And once you get used to being treated well, you can't go back to bullshit.
She dials a number.
No mystery how he got my number.
Hello?
Hi, Mama. How you doing?
Well, since you asked, my hair ain't been dyed in so long, my roots are green.
Mama, why did you give Kenneth my number?
Of course he asked for it. Why? Is he coming out there or something?
You tell me.
Ah, girl, he gonna be out there on the 26th. Ain't you excited?
Mama, the man is married.
Well, how happy can he be if he went out of his way to find me to get to you?
Mama, please.
Please, my behind, girl. I'll be so glad when you get up off that high horse. And stop trying to act like you don't need nothing or nobody. Every woman needs a man. And you ain't no exception.
Mama, I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. Goodbye. I won't squeeze him back when he hugs me. I will not look him in the eyes. And I'm definitely not going to give him any.
Now, Robin tries to slam the front door in Troy's face.
Hey, see? Told you about all that. Old feisty thing. See, you making too much about all this. It ain't even about nothing.
He grabs a bottle of wine out of her fridge.
Girl, am I going to have to whip it out and tame you?
He comes up behind her and rubs his groin against her rear.
Tame you? Hey, feel that? See how hard that is? You did that, girl, and got your name on it.
Troy, you know what? I think we should cool out for a while. This is not working.
Well, you know this comes at sort of a bad time.
And why is that? Because you want some tonight?
No, I'm not talking about tonight. I'm talking about Sunday. My mother wanted me to invite you over for a barbecue. Oh, you think I'm making all this up because you mad? You mad? You mad? Huh? Well, here, why don't you call her? Why don't you call her? 555-1467.
He picks up the telephone receiver. She puts it back.
Troy, why do you want me to meet your mother? I have only known you for 3 days.
Maybe it's because I feel a little different about you than you seem to feel about me. But I can't help that.
Leaning in close, he gently pecks her on the lips.
No man ever asked me to meet his mother before. Maybe he's not into this stuff all that much. And maybe if we got to know each other better, I might be a good influence on him.
Daytime. At a carnival, Gloria and Bernie ride a Ferris wheel.
He thinks he's gonna get away with it. I'm not gonna let him get away with
That's
it.
That's right.
You know he has a whole apartment building, 200 acres of farmland in California, and a vineyard right here in Arizona. And did you know they made wine in Arizona?
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, girl, this mess will get you a week on Sally Jackson.
I'm telling you, Glo, this is how women get screwed. Mm-hmm. Too lazy to look out for yourself, so you put all your trust in your husbands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I finally got the answer. Just never get fucking married. Mm.
Latka's got that answer. I thought you had answer to something. You had to answer to that one, honey. You'd be on the cover of Cosmo, Newsweek, Psychology Today, Jet, Essence, Evidence.
You made me laugh. I'm mad.
Mad Magazine.
And they're off.
Later, they watch an ostrich race.
Bert, if I ask you something, you promise you won't get mad.
What is it?
You've been messing around with Herbie.
Bernie eyes Gloria with a sheepish look.
Bernie.
I spent one evening with him. Look, I didn't want to marry him. I wanted to, you know, I needed to get laid, so I did.
Now, how are you going to say something like that?
Easy. Men been doing this shit for years.
Looks like the Capitol Hall set to go.
I'm telling you, it's like watching paint dry.
On the track below them, camels race past.
Girl, now he calling and paging me all hours of the day and night. Showed up at my house unannounced. My child answers the door. Now, you know that freaked me out.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what he's thinking. I tap dance for a man for 11 years. I'm not about to go out and get me a new owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bernie, but you know you're wrong.
Now, see, that's why I didn't want to tell you. I'm not like you, Gloria. I need somebody to hold me.
Hmm.
Even if it is a damn lie.
Gloria nods coolly. Now, Savannah talks on the phone. In her mirror, we see Robin, who's on the other end, in her own bedroom.
Girl, Russell's been paging me all day, but I'm through with him. I'm seeing Troy now.
Yeah, but you know what he does, Robin.
He says he only does it sometimes.
Girl, what do you expect him to say? I'm a crackhead?
So, you think I shouldn't go to the barbecue?
Robin, let me put it to you this way. What have you done in 3 days with this man besides screw him? That would make knowing you so deep that now he wants to take you home to meet his mama. A barbecue? Please, girl.
Yeah. I can't call him, though. I put his card in my wallet. Now I can't seem to find my wallet anywhere.
Oh, that really surprises me, Robin.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Hello?
I've been missing you, baby.
Since when?
Since I've been gone. Want some company?
Yes.
I'll see you in 15.
Bye, Russell. Savannah?
Yes?
I gotta go. Something I gotta do.
Is it Russell?
No, it's not Russell.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
So what if it is?
Well, enjoy the low life while you can, girlfriend. Goodbye.
As Savannah shuts off the phone, Robin's image disappears from the mirror. Now, a sinewy, bare-chested man rises from Robin's living room sofa. Sipping a glass of wine, she turns to face him. Tall and muscular, he has sleepy bedroom eyes.
Come over here.
Troy is such a waste of my time.
Come on now, come over here.
Russell's the only man I really loved. Look at him.
Are you acting like you don't want to come over here?
Last time we were together, he wanted to spend the whole night. And he would have. Except he had to take his mama to church early the next morning.
She kisses him passionately.
People change. And you can't hold a few mistakes against someone for the rest of their life.
Now we glide past fluffy clouds in a bright blue sky to a cross high atop a church steeple. A small flock of birds flaps past as we scan down the side of the white church to the entryway. Black families emerge, dressed to the nines, and head down a walkway. A few kids run and play on the lawn. At the door, a minister wearing a vibrant purple robe shakes hands with his parishioners.
Sister Gloria, are you looking good?
Good day now, Deacon.
God bless you,
Deacon. Gloria, Robin, and Bernie step out, wearing brightly colored suits with large, stylish hats. Savannah follows in a pale pink ensemble and hat. Linking arms, the four women walk off together. Tariq trails behind. Later, John drives up to Bernie's house. Their kids sit in the back of his light gray sedan. Bernie steps out of the house, gazing at him sternly. He shuts off the engine with a frown, then climbs out with their son and daughter.
Give me a hug.
The boy runs off.
Hey, John Jr.
What's up, Ma?
Hey, I missed you.
John kisses his daughter.
Enjoy the doll, okay?
Bye, Daddy. Thank you.
Bye.
She dashes up to Bernie.
Hi, Mama.
Hi, sweetie. 2 days is too long, huh?
Holding the kids' hands, she exchanges a cool look with John. He steps into his car. John heads back down the driveway. Now, Robin relaxes on a balcony outside her apartment. Troy drunkenly strolls up on the sidewalk, wearing black pants and a leather vest without a shirt.
Feels hot.
Hey, you. Robin, hey.
He throws up his arms and waves to her.
You ready, baby?
I'm not going.
Why not?
Because, Troy, I don't like this.
You don't like what?
Leaning onto the railing, she glowers at him. He knots his brow.
Okay. All right. So what am I supposed to tell my mother and my son and the rest of my family?
Your son? How old is his son?
He's almost 13. What's your point?
My point is, I don't think we're ready for family reunions yet.
What am I supposed to tell him, Robin?
She shrugs dramatically.
Tell him whatever you want to.
Oh, so I'm just supposed to accept this?
You don't have a choice. You should have asked me before committing me.
I did ask.
No, you told me. You come here 2 hours late and I'm supposed to go with you? Oh, I don't think so.
Robin! Robin!
It's locked, Troy.
He tries the door, then stumbles back to the sidewalk.
Baby, it's too hot for this shit. Can you come to get the door?
No.
Can I use your bathroom?
Hell no.
Do you have any idea how many women would love for me to take them to my house so they can meet my mother?
Oh, I can just about guess.
Man, you black bitches is all the same.
Bitch!
You complain all the time about don't nobody want your asses. Don't know how to treat ya. As soon as a man or brother show you genuine interest, your bitches act simple. And then you wonder why we go out with white women.
A white woman can have your sorry ass.
He picks up an orange off the ground.
Don't you throw that up here!
You raggedy bitch. You better be more careful who you pick up in grocery stores next time.
Troy, take your drunk ass, leather-wearing in the summertime, need-a-shave, stinky ass home. I'm not going.
Have a free roll, tramp.
He throws it.
Punk!
Forget you!
She hurls it back.
Forget you!
Ah! Like that.
It's
like that then.
Bye.
Later.
So, Robin, I guess you know who's got your wallet.
What? You think he stole it?
Robin, I don't believe you. Goodbye. I got to hang up.
Savannah rolls her eyes. Now, Gloria steps out of her house into the bright sun, wearing high heels, a short skirt, and a floral top. Across the street, a lean, muscular man unloads a moving van. Sweat glistens on his flexed biceps. Swaying her hips in a swank walk, she approaches with a curious gaze. As she nears, he takes off his sunglasses and eyes her curvy, full figure.
Hi, I'm Gloria Matthews from across the street. Whew. I was wondering, what do you know about these people moving in here?
He smiles.
Well, the guy, in my opinion, seems to be nasty and ignorant and bossy.
Oh. What about his wife?
Well, she died a couple of years ago, but this one of many precious items that she bought for him that I'm making sure don't get broke.
Oh, that's nice. Why is he trusting you with it?
Well, I'm Marvin King. Yeah, I'm your new neighbor. I just fooling around.
Oh.
Nice to meet you, Gloria.
Nice to meet you. Well, I'd just like to welcome you and your family to the neighborhood.
Thank you.
She glances coyly away.
Unpacking. It could be hard work.
Yeah, it certainly is. I got a lot more to do tomorrow, too.
Her magnetized gaze zeroes in on the crotch of his jeans and drifts up to his ruggedly handsome face.
Would you like to have dinner with us tonight? It's just leftovers. Collard greens, some cornbread, some candied yams, a little potato salad, fried chicken, peach cobbler, fruit slices of ham.
Mmm. Yum, yum. Yeah, I would love to, Gloria, but I just got too much work to do here. Maybe another time.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I don't have no business eating it myself, big as I am.
Yeah, well, my wife was a big woman. I like that. I like a woman with a little meat on her bones, you know?
Well, I could send a plate over by my son Tariq for you.
Great, yeah. I appreciate that. How old's your boy?
17.
Teenager.
He's gonna be leaving in June, I think.
College.
Marvin tips his head in puzzlement. With her red bowed lips parted, Gloria fingers her necklace and stares, her brown eyes trance-like.
Oh, excuse me? What did you ask me?
I said, Tariq. Tariq's going to college, huh?
He wants to travel around the world with this organization called Up With People. I'm just not sure I...
Yeah, let him go. He's young. Up with the people. Yeah, where's his daddy?
In California somewhere. Look, Marvin, I'll let you get back to your work. And, I'll send that plate right on over.
Thank you. Thanks, Gloria.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice meeting you. Hope to see you again real soon.
Gloria leaves. Marvin gazes after her, transfixed by her swaying buxom behind.
Oh, God, I hope he's not watching me walk away.
She glances back, and he waves.
All right.
He's watching.
Picking up her pace, she crosses the street, her hips rocking rhythmically from side to side. While Marvin watches with a mesmerized smile, he sidesteps into a box. Now in a courtroom, Bernie, John, and their lawyers sit before a white judge.
Grant the petitioner $3,000 per month until such time as we're fully able to review all newly submitted documentation. Next.
This is only round one. Stay strong, Bernadine. Stay strong.
Bernie glares at her husband.
Look, I want this to be over and done with. Handle. Let's just take it step by step. It's taking a toll on my kids.
I'm sorry, son of a bitch, John. You know the mortgage is $5,000 a month. How are your children supposed to live, huh?
I told you to settle for the $300,000, but you want to play hardball.
Oh, dogs don't go to heaven, John. You think you can get away with this, huh? You lowlife ass kissing Uncle Tom.
You know, this Uncle Tom stuff, it's really becoming a bit redundant, don't you think, Bernadine? Excuse me.
As he leaves, she draws a quivering breath. Later, in an elegant hotel, Bernie walks past a bride and groom getting photographed. Her arm swings in time with each slow, graceful step she takes across the lobby. She wears a sophisticated dark brown skirt suit that accents her short-cropped hair and svelte figure. Unbuttoning her chic suit jacket, she enters the empty bar. She lays her purse on the bar, sits down, and takes out a cigarette. The bartender brings her drink.
Thank you.
She flicks on a lighter and stares into the flame before lighting her cigarette. Later, her suit coat hangs over the back of her chair. Wearing a silk sleeveless blouse, Bernie takes a pensive drag on her cigarette, then blows a thin stream of smoke. A sharply suited man with a trim goatee stands behind her.
Excuse me. Is anybody sitting here?
She glances at him and shrugs.
No, no one's sitting there.
He sits down beside her.
Cognac, please.
Yes, sir.
The bartender places a fresh ashtray in front of Bernie. She slides it closer, shifts her weight away from her new neighbor, and sips her scotch, staring down at the bar. He glances around the lounge, then extends his hand.
My name is James Wheeler. How do you do?
She ignores him.
Your cognac, sir?
Thank you.
James sniffs, then sips his drink. With her jaw clenched, Bernie sighs, eyeing the cigarette she idly rolls between her fingertips.
So do you have a name?
She finally glances at him, her eyes narrow and fatigued.
Bernadine.
Bernadine. My, this is a pretty place. But I have to admit, I haven't seen anything as splendid as you since I've been here.
She shoots him a bone-chilling stare.
Okay, hold on now. Hold on. You don't have to give me that look. Look, I haven't seen the sun for 4 days now. I mean, it's been one meeting after the other, after the other. And now I am finished. So, I decided to come downstairs, have myself a drink. And in the morning, I look forward to returning home to my...
Bernie fingers her glass in bemusement.
Salud.
He toasts her, then loosens his tie.
So, why are you sitting here all alone?
She tenses.
Okay, wait, hold on now. You don't have to answer that. You don't know me. You know, I mean, you don't know me from a can of paint. Yeah, I am all in your Kool-Aid and don't know the flavor.
I'm getting a divorce, James. And, you know, it just occurred to me that I've lost something that once meant everything. And it hurts. And right now, I'm really pissed about it. But you know what really gets me? I didn't have plan B. My marriage was supposed to last. So I guess that's why I'm here.
I can tell you one thing, though.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, you are one brave woman. You're bad.
No.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I hope you recognize that.
No, I don't really feel like that, James.
Well, I mean, you're sitting here all alone. Ain't a black person in sight, and you sitting here looking like everything is all right. You know, your makeup is flawless.
Oh, come on now.
I mean, you've taken his best shot, and you're still here. Splendid.
You just know me so well.
No, I don't know you. Mm-hmm. But I do know a fighter when I see one.
Her hard gaze softens, and she studies his strong features.
And I could tell that with one look in your eyes.
Relaxing into her chair, she rests her chin on her hand and smiles faintly.
What are you, a psychiatrist or something?
No. I am a civil rights attorney. My practice is in Washington, D.C. I'm going through something similar. My wife is dying of breast cancer.
I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
He shakes his head kindly.
Bernadine, have you ever watched someone dying? I tell you, I mean, watching her suffer just kills a bit of me every day. And the worst part is that I can't help but remember all the plans we made. You know, like we were supposed to retire in St. Thomas, you know, out there by the beach. She loves the water. Get the coconut oil and rub it all over her. She is definitely a...
He flicks the rim of his glass.
I tell you, I just wish I could have a piece of her that I could keep safe, you know. Just something. Something more than a bunch of memories. Anyway. You look like you're out.
Mm-hmm.
How about a refill?
He shrugs graciously, and she smiles.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. She'll take another whatever she got.
Scotch and soda.
Ooh. I'm scared of you.
Now at Savannah's. Everyone falls. She checks her French braided hair in a mirror.
Sometimes it's wrong, and sometimes it's right.
She steps downstairs, pauses at the front door, then opens it to a tall, boyish-faced man.
There comes a point when we exhale.
Well, hello.
Hello. You look better than I remember.
It's funny. You don't. But I guess you couldn't.
Smiling, they embrace warmly.
Oh, it's good to see you.
You too.
Later, they stroll through a public garden.
Well... I'm producing my first segment. It's only 3 minutes long. But it is a start.
That's good. That's real good. I'm proud of you.
All right. Let's cut the bull. Are you going to talk to me for real or what?
You know, I have to apologize for thinking I could just pop back into your life after all these years.
Pop back in my life?
Yeah. Oh. I needed to see you.
All right, so you see me. Now I can leave, right?
Oh, man. There's so many things I want to say to you.
Is that right?
Things I've wanted to say ever since... Well, ever since you dumped me.
Dumped you? Can we revisit the real world here for a minute, Kenneth?
Yeah.
You start calling me.
Oh, yeah, well, took me a while to get the hint.
The hint?
Yeah.
Oh, what hint is that?
You never called me.
I never called you.
To go anywhere. Not even once.
Kenneth, you're the man. And that wasn't the nature of our relationship, and you know that.
I know. The nature of our relationship was that I was in love with a woman who was too nice to hurt my feelings.
You were in love with who? And what?
Look, I know I'm married, and I love my daughter with all my heart. You see, her mother was 5 months pregnant when we married. Now, that was my choice. I went in with my eyes open, and I've lived with it for 7 years now. Now, I don't want this to come off like some kind of come on, but you are the only woman that I have ever loved. And I still love you, Savannah.
She gazes, enamored. Later, in her candlelit apartment, Kenneth takes Savannah's delicate hand and draws her into a soft embrace. With her arms draped over his broad shoulders, they sway in loving harmony. Kenneth brushes his lips across her forehead, then scoops her up into his arms. Meeting his affectionate smile with a warm gaze, Savannah caresses the back of his neck. Later in bed, their patient lips meet in a tender kiss. Savannah lies on her back and shuts her eyes. Her mouth purses in peaceful ecstasy as Kenneth traces kisses down her silken body. With their serene faces pressed together and their eyes closed, they sit cradled in each other's arms, his strong hands supporting her slender frame. Pale lamplight shines on their smooth, bare skin as they rock gently in slow, sensual unison. Now, Bernie and James enter a hotel room.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm just... Yeah, I'm okay.
You nervous?
I'm a little nervous.
Well, I mean, if you're having second thoughts about me being up here...
No, I'm having all kinds of thoughts.
She shyly waves her key card, then puts it in her purse.
Well, I mean, if it's any consolation... Bernie... I've never done this before.
She looks away from his earnest gaze, curving her lips into a trembling smile.
You sure?
I haven't made love to a woman in over a year. Lauren stopped wanting to.
He clenches his lips matter-of-factly. Sitting at the end of the bed, Bernie shifts her gaze away from his level stare, rubs her knees, and smiles nervously. James sits down next to her and gazes into her clear crescent eyes.
I got two things I want to say to you.
No, you don't have to say anything.
I do, because you may kick me out afterwards. Remember how you were saying that the woman your husband was marrying, I mean ex-husband, that she was white?
Yes.
Well, so is my wife.
Her gaze drifts down. Exhaling a tight breath, she looks softly at him.
Look, Bernie. I mean, I can sit here and I can say that the reason I'm staying with her is because she's dying. That it's my obligation, or a whole bunch of stuff. But the truth of the matter is, I love her. She's the only woman I have ever loved. And I would never leave her under any circumstances.
Bernie's gaze lingers on him as her eyes brim with tears.
It hurts like hell.
She reaches out and takes his strong hand. Touched by his gentle squeeze, she lays her cheek against his shoulder. He closes his deep brown eyes and softly presses his lips onto her hair.
Someone felt that way about me once. haven't stopped.
James strokes her hand.
What do you want to do tonight?
He puts his arm around her.
Make tonight beautiful.
Bernie closes her eyes and draws a smooth breath.
Beautiful.
Later, they sleep with their clothes on, bathed in golden morning light. Bernie lies nestled in his tender embrace.
I know there is any chance for us to find our happiness. We've got to learn to let it go. Oh, forget everything we know. Sometimes.
Daytime at Gloria's. Her new neighbor, Marvin, works on her poolside gazebo.
Marvin, please eat this sandwich.
Yes, indeed.
I got to run now.
I'm just kidding.
No, you weren't.
I wouldn't do that. Can you hold that for me? Don't throw that away. Ain't got no cheese on this thing.
You don't like cheese.
I bought the paint.
Good. You sit right down there to me. You want to buy this sandwich, Doree?
You got cheese in it?
Here, take a bite.
At dusk, Tariq plays the saxophone near the gazebo, silhouetted against the clear amber sunset. In her living room, Gloria celebrates with her friends.
Happy birthday, dear Gloria. Happy birthday to you.
Bernie sets down a candlelit cake.
Happy birthday, baby.
To the best blow drying, scissor scalping, bumper curling, braiding, weaving, get this gray out of my head dying beautician west of the Mississippi. Happy birthday.
They toast with champagne.
Weak.
Gloria, I hope you find true love and get you some that's so electric you ain't gonna need no blow dryer.
Oh,
and so juicy, it's gonna put an end to your 10-year drought.
Oh,
oh, she's so nasty.
Nasty.
Ooh.
Oh, come on, y'all. God. Raise them up one more time. Let's get serious now.
Girlfriend, here's to peace of mind and all the happiness that your heart and hand can hold. Because Lord knows you deserve it.
Gloria sips, then leans down toward the candles.
Okay, I can do this.
All right. Come on, make your wish first. Make your wish.
Okay.
Oh,
this is pitiful.
Come on,
let's
help this
woman.
You need some help.
Come on, let's
Later, Gloria smokes a cigarette, lying on the sofa with her head on Savannah's leg. Savannah listens, her eyes closed.
Why do they write these damn songs? To make you think and believe and dream you could feel like this. Somebody had to go through this shit in order to write it. Don't you think?
Bernie sits apart from them, smoking a cigarette with an inch of ash.
You know what? You know what we all have in common?
What?
None of us. Not none of us. Have a man.
Some sad shit.
Bernie slowly shakes her head, spilling a tear.
A lying asshole. Messed up my life.
Lowering her gaze, she brings the burnt down cigarette to her trembling lips and inhales deeply.
I should call him right now. T-
She snubs out her cigarette, takes a swig of champagne, then stumbles drunkenly to the phone.
Girl, you crazy. Girl,
you get your camera. Hand me the phone. That's her. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Dial the number, Bernie.
Robin takes the receiver.
What are y'all doing?
No.
Phone now.
Johnny? Hello?
No, it's not John, bitch.
Robin, Savannah, talk to her.
What happened?
Bernie. Bernie, don't do this. Bernie. Bernie, don't do this.
Lori, I gave him two babies, and she can just take my fucking husband.
Bernie. Bernie, cut.
Gloria unplugs the phone.
It's stupid. It's stupid and it's childish.
Thank you.
Bernie staggers back toward her seat.
Lori, I have some shit I want to get off my chest. What happened to the music? I thought this was supposed to be a party.
All right. Come
the
on,
four
baby.
Friends groove in a line dance together, rolling their hips as they step from side to side. Later, in the candlelit room, they sit shoulder to shoulder on the floor, leaning against the sofa.
I'm sick of this shit now. Wait a minute. The one man I love is married with a kid. And there's my life in one little sad nutshell.
Men do leave their wives.
At least he told you he was married. Yeah, but see, I'm not your average 24-year-old girl who's willing to wait around and count the days. I'm 33 years old.
Ooh, good.
And I still look good.
I still look good.
You fish.
You look good, girl.
She's it. Fly diva.
Mm-hmm. Freak mama.
Coochie coochie diva.
No. All y'all go to hell.
You know you look good.
You look good, girl. Whatever happened to the good old days?
Good old days.
Ooh,
Jinx. You know, the days when men actually flirted with you and asked you out for a real date, you know. Where they hiding?
They're not hiding. They're too damn scared to make a commitment.
Mm-mm. They were white women.
They gay.
Oh, married.
They ugly.
They behind bars.
Mm-hmm. Got bad credit.
Got little dicks and can't fuck.
That's what it is. Or they got big ones and still can't
fuck. They want to spank it.
What?
They want to
what? They want to spank it.
Now, that's not a bad thing.
All right. Oh, come on. They're too possessive.
They want to be their mama.
And their daddy. And they ugly.
Baby, we already said they was ugly.
Yes.
Good and ugly.
Inside out ugly?
If you're ugly inside, you're ugly outside.
Inside out.
Jesus.
In the morning, they sleep on the living room sofas. Tariq steps softly over to Gloria and kisses her cheek.
Happy birthday, Ma.
He leaves quietly. A few tableside candles still flicker near the leftover birthday cake and an empty champagne bottle. Later, at the airport, Kenneth, dressed in a tailored gray suit, saunters toward Savannah's silver convertible. Smiling, he puts his garment bag in the back seat, gets in the front, and greets her with a kiss. Later, Savannah lies in bed with a sheet pulled over her purple silk nightgown. She stares pensively at the ceiling while Kenneth sleeps, bare-chested, next to her. She carefully moves his arm off her leg and gets up. In the adjoining bathroom, she sits on the tub with a phone, gazing at Kenneth through the bed's gauzy canopy curtains. In a simply furnished green bedroom, her soft-eyed mom reaches sleepily for the phone, her black hair rolled in curlers.
Hi, Mom, did I wake you? Oh, what difference does it make?
I'm up now.
Oh,
What's wrong?
Why are you talking so low? Savannah? Are you there?
Yeah, Mom, I'm still here. Nothing's wrong. How are things with you?
Well, they cut my food stamps to $57 a month.
Ma, how the hell have you been getting by? What have you been eating?
Oh, baby, see, I knew you would get upset. And I've been trying to deal with it on my own.
The check is goes so fast and things are so high nowadays.
Ma, how much money do you have?
$67.
Savannah blinks back tears.
Mom, be down at Western Union first thing in the morning, okay?
Her mom sighs a smile.
Baby, you know, Kenneth called and he said that he's going to be trying to come out there with him filing for his divorce and all.
Savannah glances at Kenneth.
What, did he call you?
No, he hasn't.
Why didn't pick up the phone and call him?
Because, Mom, I just don't know. I don't know if I can trust him, you know?
Oh, girl, you're so crazy.
Mama, do me a favor, okay?
Yes.
I don't care if it's a knitting class or a new girdle, anything. I don't care what it is. You just pick up the phone and you call me, okay?
All right, babe.
And only me, Mom.
Only you, precious.
Bye.
Hanging up, Savannah watches Kenneth stir in his sleep. Later that morning, he sits on the patio, unaware of Savannah, listening to his phone conversation.
Hi. Yeah, sorry I didn't call after I got in. Oh, continuous introductions after a very long and tedious meeting. I was whipped. Yeah. One thing is certain. I'm going to have to come out here a few more times before this deal's in place. Yeah. How's my baby girl? Well, you tell her that her daddy loves her. Yeah. Me too. Bye.
Wearing a silk robe over her purple nightgown, she brings him a breakfast tray.
Oh, good morning.
Well, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm here with you. It's all good.
He gazes affectionately as she sets the tray down and steals a kiss.
Have your breakfast. I'll be back.
I'll be here.
He brings her hand to his lips. With a subdued smile, she strokes his back, then heads inside, sneaking a brief glance back at him. Nighttime. In Gloria's kitchen, Marvin fixes her faucet.
This is going to broaden his horizons, make him more worldly. He'd be fluent in Spanish.
I know that. I just don't see why he has to go all the way to Spain when he's already been accepted at Arizona State.
I'm going
to
miss him, too.
Who's talking about missing him?
Look, he's a man, Gloria. He knows what he wants. Be proud you raised him that way.
I am proud. It's just, he's my baby. You just don't understand.
I understand. Why are you telling me all this?
Well, I thought that since you've been coming over all these months, showing him how to fix things, he's never known what it's like to have a father. You took him fishing. He looks up to you. I thought maybe you could talk some sense into him.
It seems to me Tarika's the one needs to come to his senses. If you don't mind my saying so.
Well, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Good night.
Gloria.
He catches her arm as she turns to go.
Good night.
She throws him a cold glare and leaves. Marvin presses his lips in frustration and collects his tools.
It's getting late. I better...
He turns quickly around, but she's not there.
Good night.
Now, Robin sits on her bed in a sheer black bodysuit. With her arms folded on her knees, she anxiously taps a finger.
Russell called and said he's leaving his wife for sure this time.
Okay. So what's taking him so long?
She looks toward the door.
Russell?
The tall, handsome Russell moseys into the bedroom. Robin meets his sleepy eyes with a pouty frown. Glancing stoically away, he takes off his coat.
Russell, what took you so long?
I wasn't gone that long.
He tosses his coat in the closet, takes off his shoes, and steps toward her.
Well, what happened?
We talked.
Robin gets up, her breasts ample in her push-up bra.
Well, I assumed that much. So?
She wraps her arms around his neck, stroking it while she kisses him.
Is she gonna sign a divorce paper?
What?
You just don't decide to divorce somebody and sign on dotted line, babe. It doesn't work that way. I wish it did, but it does.
He slides his finger down her face, kisses her cheek, then slaps her behind.
Why don't you get my pajamas?
Pajamas? Now that's the first time you ever asked for those.
She takes pajama bottoms out of a drawer, pauses, then throws them at him.
Russell, did you sleep with her?
I can't take coming here being pressured about what I'm doing with my own wife.
Well, you know we're not going to have very much time to spend together.
Bare-chested, he ties the string on his pajamas and walks past her. Glowering, Robin sits on the bed. He lies down, away from her.
Hello?
Hey, what's happening, babe? Troy.
I can't talk right now.
But you can't talk now. Hey, look, why don't you just say something sexy to me so I can go to sleep?
Who was that?
Savannah.
They lie back to back.
I suggest you tell your boyfriends not to call here after 11.
Robin smirks.
He's jealous. What a joke. What the hell am I doing anyway?
Now at church. The choir and the minister clap and sway. Amid the Sunday-dressed congregation, Gloria sits with her son.
This up with people's choir that's going to Spain. Is it this good?
You mean the one you won't let me join? Nah. But they're close.
At the pulpit, the purple-robed minister applauds.
After that selection, after that song. After that song, somebody ought to say thank you.
Thank you.
Say praise the Lord.
Praise
say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Turn to your neighbor right where you're sitting and say,
The Lord
is blessing me.
Blessing me.
Right now.
Amen.
At this time, our prayers go out to Sister Lula Mae Preston, who just had hip surgery. Church, I want you to know this morning that God is able. And because we know that he's able, we will continue to pray her strength in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Gloria Matthews would like the congregation to send their prayers out for the safe journey of her son Tariq, who'll soon be on his way to Spain for a year to play the saxophone in the Up With People International Orchestra. Hallelujah! Amen.
Tariq plants a joyful kiss on his mom's cheek.
Brother Tariq, hold on to the Lord's unchanging hand. As you go on your journey, continue to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Robin and Savannah sit on the grass by a pool.
I mean, so what do you think, Robin? I've loved this man forever. And now that we've got another chance, I don't want to blow up by making him think I don't have any faith in him. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, don't we hear this on Sally and Oprah every day?
That's what you sound like,
yeah,
you know?
No. Is that when you get your advice on TV?
Well, you know, there was this one woman in your same situation. This man kept saying he was gonna leave too. She got her hopes all up and everything. Quit her job, even moved to the city he lived in. Right after she got there, she found out she was 3 months pregnant. He ended up dumping the woman. He said his kids would be too hurt if he left now.
So what about the baby?
So she had an abortion. She never ever told a soul. Not even her mama. She never looked at men quite the same again.
Savannah glances at Robin, who stares blankly ahead.
So he left his wife in the end, right?
Take a wild guess, Savannah.
What show did you hear this on?
Sorry. I've never been on Oprah.
They exchange a solemn gaze. At dusk, rain falls from a tangerine-colored sky. Bernie lies in bed. Onika, her doll-faced daughter, enters carrying a mug and hiding something behind her back. Bernie wearily sits up.
Guess what I got?
Some tea.
Guess.
Picture you drew for me?
I don't know, honey. I get what is it?
I got the mama.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
The little girl, still in her maroon school uniform, pads into the dressing room, sits at a makeup table, and puts on her mom's fancy jewelry. In the bedroom, Bernie takes two aspirin and sifts through the mail. With a puzzled gaze, she studies an envelope's return address and opens it.
Mama.
She checks the letter's signature, then hurries to read.
I've waited as long as I could to contact you.
Mommy, is freak a bad word?
I've been thinking about you a lot, Bernie. Every day. All the time. I'm embarrassed even to write that down. But it's true. Bernie, I fell in love. In one night.
Mama asked you a question.
No, honey. No, it's not.
You know what's even harder for me to understand is that what I feel for you has never undercut the love I have for my wife. How is that possible?
I haven't said it was a bad word.
I still watch her every day. So beautiful. So brave. I just want to give her everything I've got in me. Every moment.
It's not a nice word.
She's hanging on. Fighting to be here for me. And when she sleeps, I cry over how amazing she is and how lucky I've been to have her in my life.
Can I say it?
No.
You're the only person in this world I ever knew I could tell this to. And even if this never finds you and we never speak again, you've changed my life. You know what inspiration is? It's someone who lets you know life will go on and something beautiful can be waiting somewhere. Somewhere when you least expect it.
Mama, what does it mean?
What does what mean?
Freak.
It means weird.
Let me see weird too, like an essay freak.
With a fond smile, she folds up the letter.
Because.
Look, Mama.
Onika nestles into her mom's lap, wearing a gold necklace and flashy earrings.
Look at you. What?
God, stop crying.
I don't think those were God's tears at all. Just this way of making sure everything keeps growing.
Bernie glances out a skylight at the sun, peeking through orange and purple clouds. Daytime. A fountain showers near a poolside cafe where Savannah sits alone at a table in the shade of an umbrella. Impatiently sipping a drink, she scans the cafe. Kenneth hurries up behind her and kisses her cheek.
Hi, darling. Sorry I'm late. My daughter's had 104 temperature for the past 2 days.
Really?
Turns out she's got the chicken pox.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, Paula's been beeping me on the hour every hour all damn day.
Mm.
I told her all she had to do was give the girl an ice bath.
Right.
Or rub her down with some alcohol.
Mm.
Jesus, you think she had malaria.
So why'd you even come?
Why? Because you are the most important thing in my life.
Excuse me, can I get you something to drink?
No, thanks. Me.
A gin and tonic, please. One of these days, she's not going to have me around to bug about this shit.
Savannah nods.
You know, every trip I make out here, I dread going home. And the longer I think about it, the more I'm convinced that this is what I want to do. When the time is right.
The waiter brings his drink.
Excuse me?
Thank you. I mean, it's more financial than anything right now. And there's still a lot of things that need to be worked out. I know if I left right now, it would be the wrong time for my daughter. She thinks she's having a baby sister.
A baby.
So, we're going to have to wait a little bit longer than I expected.
Yeah.
But I know the kind of person that you are. That you want to do the right thing as much as I do.
I do, Kenneth. I really do. You see, the more I think about it, the more I look at you, you look like the scum of the fucking earth. You see, the good news is, Kenneth, is that I was never, ever in danger of you getting a divorce. Oh, no, I'm the lucky one, the most important thing in your life. Meaning, you'll abandon your wife and your child to get laid every chance I give you. And you think the brass ring is some bogus promise to put me into Paula's shoes? So you can do the same fucking thing to me next year? It's pretty close to irresistible, lover man.
What the hell's wrong with you? I mean, you and my wife working for the same fucking firm or something? You weren't this self-righteous when you were fucking my brains out. You weren't worried about my poor little wife then, now were you?
You're right. You're absolutely right, Kenneth. I couldn't see past what I wanted. So that made me an asshole. But the difference between you and me is I'm not anymore.
She gets up.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Now look. I'm sorry. But we need to talk about this some more. I mean, without all the anger. Look, I'm not mad. Really.
Neither am I, baby. I'm not mad. And to prove it, the drinks are on you.
She tips one into his lap.
Damn it!
Later, in a TV studio, an assistant brings Savannah a cell phone.
Excuse me, Savannah. Do you have a phone call?
Thanks, Kitty. Excuse me, sir. Hello?
Have you lost your mind?
She walks off the set for privacy.
What?
Kenneth just called me and told me how simple you acted. He was actually crying. And men don't be crying over no woman unless they love them. How can you be so insensitive?
Could you excuse me for a minute, please?
No problem.
Thank you.
In the control room, an engineer takes off his headset and leaves.
First of all, Ma, I am sick of you telling me how I should live my life, who you think I should love, marry. Ma, I'm sick of it.
Don't you raise your voice at me.
Mama, I'm 33 years old and I live alone.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yes, and I may have to accept the fact that I may live alone for the rest of my life.
It ain't too late, Savannah. He's begging on his damn knees and you letting him get away.
Mama, do you hear me? I have a job. I have friends. Ma, I have interests that you don't even ask about. Because only one thing counts with you, Mama.
With any damn woman unless they lying to themselves.
Well, I'm being honest with myself, Ma. I'm smart. I work hard, and I'm a good person. Ma, if I allowed myself to think like you, I guess I'd be a dead woman. Ma, you should be proud. I'd rather live alone than crawl up behind some two-timing loser like Kenneth.
He's a good man, Savannah. A good man. He's just in a bad situation right now, and he's trying to get out of it.
Mama, I tell you what, why don't you fucking marry him then?
Her mom hangs up, too. Savannah leans against a desk, stroking her forehead. Meanwhile, her mom vigorously polishes silverware. She stops and fixes her soft, glazed eyes on the phone.
Ma, I was wrong to yell. I'm sorry. But I meant what I said about my life. But I didn't mean to disrespect you. I'll never do that again.
It's all right, baby. It's all right.
I just don't want to see you end up like me. Alone.
I know. And I love you.
I love you too, Sugar.
I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Now, in court, Bernie, John, and their lawyers sit before the judge.
After fully reviewing all the newly submitted documentation, the settlement will go as follows. $1.5 million in the Phoenix Municipal Savings and Loan Association, ownership of the residence at 1985 Ohio Drive in Pinnacle Peak, Arizona, a second house in Acapulco, Mexico, $500,000 in stocks and bonds, and a E320S Mercedes station wagon.
Bernie gleefully drums her feet, then hugs her lawyer.
Thank you.
Waiting behind them, Savannah exchanges an enthusiastic smile with her friend. Bernie settles into a calm poise and steps toward her ex-husband. John graciously extends his hand. With a sincere gaze, she squeezes it softly. As he opens the court gate for her, she walks past him, then bursts into a rejoicing embrace with Savannah. With a disappointed frown, John sits down and glances at his blonde lawyer, now at Robin's. On the couch reading, she moves her dog from her lap, carries her book to the door, and opens it to Russell.
Hey, baby. Surprised to see me.
She glares.
Finally got the bitch off my back like I told you I would.
If that's what you want, I'm happy for you.
Then why are we standing here in the hallway talking about it?
Because I haven't invited you in.
She pushes him away.
Come on, baby. It's me. It's Russell. Why you wanna do this to us? After all we've been through, huh? Come on now.
I said, stop.
What you mean? Childbirth choices. What's that about?
Yeah. It's yours, and I'm keeping it.
So what you expect me to do?
What you do best. Disappear. Go home to your wife. Or better yet, go get some help. I don't want anything from you. I want you to read my lips. We don't need you in our lives.
Frankly, pressing her lips together, she closes the door on him, slides the chain lock into place, then sits on the couch. In the hall, Russell, his face humbly drawn, starts to knock, then presses his hand against the door and walks away. Inside, with the book open on her lap, Robin cuddles her dog and grins triumphantly.
Yes.
Now, Marvin fixes a chair in his living room.
It's open.
Gloria steps in.
How you been doing?
She shakes out her umbrella and enters. Without looking up, Marvin sands his chair.
I haven't seen much of you lately.
Gloria steps gingerly toward him. Marvin keeps his eyes glued to the chair.
I acted silly when all you did was tell me the truth. I guess I didn't want to hear it.
I've been real busy.
I came over for two reasons. I know I shut you out. And I miss you in our life, my life. Marvin, I have no doubt in my mind everything you said was true, and I apologize. I just came out to say that.
She turns to leave.
Wait a minute, wait. Come on in.
Gloria hesitates at the door, then moves back into the living room. As she passes, Marvin reaches to usher her in, but draws his hand away nervously. She sits on the couch and looks at him with heavy-lidded eyes.
He just left. He wouldn't even let me take him to the airport.
gazing at the floor, she fights back tears.
He's been a man in my life, you know. My companion. More than just my baby. Now he's gone. Yeah. I gave up. A long time ago, on any hope I had of finding someone for myself. It's a terrible thing to do to Tariq.
Tariq's gonna be fine.
Yeah. I'm grateful to you, though, for opening my eyes.
I miss you, too.
You wouldn't allow my fear of being alone to get in the way of him growing up and doing what he has to do. And I'm so unfair to you.
You haven't been unfair to Tariq. They've been unfair to you. To us. It's like you don't feel you're worthy to have someone to love you. I love you.
No, don't say it.
Yes.
You know me.
She moves closer and brushes her quivering lips over his. Their mouths fumble in a tremulous first kiss, then melt together as Gloria and Marvin sink out of view. Looking out a French door, we see a blue storm cloud, dome-like, in the peach sky. Nighttime. Bernie drives Savannah, Robin, and Gloria in her Mercedes station wagon. They're all decked out in evening wear.
We're moving into our New Year's Eve countdown. So let's kick off the new year. Guys, I don't feel like going to the club tonight.
Me either. All right, let's go somewhere different.
What were you doing in the summertime?
Yeah,
Roberta Flack was saying it might be you.
Who is this?
Roberta Flack.
Roberta Flack.
I've been passing time watching trains go by.
It's an old cut.
All of my life.
The movie.
Someone waiting.
Tootsie.
Yeah, this is from Tootsie.
That's not.
Yeah.
This is Steve.
Something's telling me it might be you.
Later, on a lakeside beach.
You got no plans tonight.
You
got nowhere to go. Don't fret. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. Do that for yourself. So if you're sad, get glad. If you're mad, get even. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Whatever you do, do it this year. Let's do this.
By a campfire, Robin, her belly now round, raises a water bottle to her friend's champagne glasses.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year!
Fireworks sparkle in the night sky as the four friends enfold each other in a laughing embrace. This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Funding provided by Gordon and Laura Gund. Described by Lisa Benjamin and Samantha Manahan. Read by Margot Stage. Major funding for DVS is provided by the United States Department of Education. For more information about DVS, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203 or write to our email address, dvs@wgbh.org. Credits roll. A Deborah Schindler, Ezra Swerdlow production. A Forrest Whitaker film. Costume designer, Judy L. Ruskin. Original music by Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. Edited by Richard Chu. Production designer, David Gropman. Director of photography, Toyomichi Kurita. Executive producers, Terry McMillan and Ronald Bass. Based upon the novel by Terry McMillan. Screenplay by Terry McMillan and Ronald Bass. Produced by Ezra Swerdlow and Deborah Schindler. Directed by Forrest Whitaker. The cast: Whitney Houston as Savannah, Angela Bassett as Bernadine, Loretta Devine as Gloria, Layla Roshan as Robin, Gregory Hines as Marvin, Dennis Haysbert as Kenneth, Michael T. Williamson as Troy, Michael Beach as John Sr., Leon as Russell, Wendell Pierce as Michael, Donald Diason Faison as Tariq, Jeffrey D. Sams as Lionel, Jazz Raykol as Onika, Brandon Hammond as John Jr., Kenya Moore as Denise, Lamont Johnson as Joseph, Ren D. Brown as the minister, Theo as the on-air DJ, Ken Love as the DJ at the Hermosa, Graham Galloway as the fireman, Starletta Dupois as Savannah's mother, Sherry L. Carpenter as Savannah's assistant, Thomas R. Leander as the interviewer, Cordell Conway, Lee Wells Jr., and Hope Brown as the group at the Hermosa table, Delana Mitchell as Tariq's girlfriend, Luis Sharp as Herbert, Joseph S. Myers as the security guard at John's office, Ezra Swerdlow as Wild Bill, Ellen LaVar as the hairdresser, Patricia Ann Fox as the customer at the hair salon, Wally Bujak as the judge, and a cameo appearance by Wesley Snipes as James Wheeler. Original soundtrack available on Arista Records, Dolby Stereo in selected theaters, Motion Picture Association of America, number 33943. Copyright 1995, 20th Century Fox. An FBI warning appears. Federal law provides severe civil and criminal penalties for the unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or exhibition of copyrighted motion pictures, videotapes, or video discs. Criminal copyright infringement is investigated by the FBI and may constitute a felony, with a maximum penalty of up to 5 years in prison and/or a $250,000 fine.